Welcome to Compassion Radio 360. We made it to the end of the week. Welcome back to Compassion Radio's 360 program.
Hello.
This week's story really is truly uplifting. It's been around for a while. You and I discussed it years ago. I'm not even sure why we didn't use it for this program at the time. But it's gained a whole new life because it's back in the news.
Yeah. This story is about Dan and Nora, who were very dear friends. Hmm. It started back in 2016 when Dan was 82 and Nora was 4.
Seemed like a perfect friendship.
Right. It was Nora's birthday, and her mother says that she wanted to go to the grocery store to buy some cupcakes. So off they went. Mom puts Nora and her baby sister Marigold into the cart and is pushing them around the store, trying to hurry to get home and all of the things that go on with young children.
On their birthdays.
And Nora was especially excited. She's telling everyone in the store it's her birthday as they go through. But they happen upon this man. Mom Tara says they came around and there was an elderly man there, not looking very interested in anything, just kind of sad. Nora reached out to him and said, "Hi, it's my birthday." Mm-hmm. And he looked up and got a little smile on his face and said, "Well, happy birthday." And she asked him for a hug.
I don't think he quite asked him for a hug. He demanded a hug.
She said, "For my birthday." So he, I think, maybe felt obliged. So Tara was a bit mortified by this whole scene that was playing out. You never know what a young one is going to say.
Indeed.
But Mr. Dan gladly obliged and gave Nora a hug and told her happy birthday.
In the article, there's actually a picture of the surveillance camera in the store capturing the moment. And it's not just a little lean-in, touch, and smile. It's a big old bear hug this girl gives to this guy.
Yes. After that, Nora was just very happy about it. She was thrilled that this man had given her a hug for her birthday. And then she said to her mom a little bit later on, "I want to take a picture with him. Find him, find him." Mom thought, "Oh dear, he's probably not going to be willing to do that. And perhaps he's already left the store." But they happened upon him again in another aisle. And so Nora asked, and he said, "Absolutely." So again, she threw her arms around him. Mom pulls out her phone and takes a picture. As they're leaving, Mom doesn't think much else about it, just that was such a sweet encounter. Yeah. But she wanted to write about it. She wanted to post it on Facebook. And so she did. Posted a picture of Nora hugging Mr. Dan. Well, just so happens, someone saw the post, knew Mr. Dan, sent her a message and said, "Hey, this is Mr. Dan. And here's the thing about him. His wife passed away just a few months ago. And he's been very down since then," which understandably.
Yeah, this is all happening in Augusta, Georgia, which, having been there a couple of times myself, is one of the biggest little towns around. Everyone seems to know each other's business, and at the same time, it's a county seat. You expect to act more like a big town where anonymity rules the day. You don't run into people every day in the store that you recognize. Not in this town. So when the word got out about this Mr. Dan, it wasn't just a thought of, "Gee, I'm glad we did something nice for him that moment." It was now a mission for this little girl to do something for Mr. Dan.
Nora seems like an exceptional young woman, period. And one thing that she had said to her mother, as they were walking through the parking lot to get to the grocery store, she saw an elderly person. Nora said, "Be careful of this old person. I like old peoples the best because they walk slow like I walk slow. And they have soft skin like I have soft skin. And they're all going to die soon. So I'm going to love them up all before they is died." So Nora had a heart for the elderly at a very young age.
Like a flash of lightning, it clicked in her mind what needed to be done for old peoples.
So like I said earlier, someone contacted her and told her about Mr. Dan. And Tara, Nora's mom, asked for his phone number, which they gave her. And she called him a few days later and said, "I just want to tell you how much I appreciate your willingness to spend time with my daughter at the grocery store and how kind it was of you to allow a picture. And I hope it wasn't a bother." And he said, "Absolutely not. It was the highlight of my day and of many months." He invited them over and they went. And when they got there, he had gotten out a child-sized table and a chair and some paper and some crayons, brand new crayons he had gone to buy. She said he had gotten a haircut. He was all dressed up in nice clothes and welcomed them in, gave them a glass of tea and asked Nora if she would draw a picture for him to post on his refrigerator. And absolutely, she did. She spent time drawing this picture while her mom, Tara, visited with Mr. Dan. They ended up spending nearly 3 hours with him
on the first visit
that day. Yeah. Made chicken nuggets for her and helped her clean up afterwards and wiped the ketchup off of her face and just loved on her and hugged her. And it was a very sweet time. And when they left, again, she needed a hug. So there was a bond.
Yeah.
Right then and there.
An instant grandparent.
Yeah. And every day after that, for an extended period of time, Nora would ask about Mr. Dan. How is he doing? When can we go see him again? And wonder if he's eaten today. All things like this. A four-year-old really shouldn't be concerned about, but she was very concerned about him. So Tara's mom thought, you know, I need to call and check on him and see what's going on. So she called again. He invited them over again. And this became a habit of theirs. Every few days, they would go and visit with Mr. Dan.
And like peeling an onion over time, you start getting deeper into the story. And Mr. Dan was more forthright with them about what he missed in life since his wife had passed away. He was, like many widowers, completely beside himself. Mm-hmm. He didn't know what to do next. He didn't have anybody to feel like he was grounded in this world. And like a lot of people who are elderly that lose a spouse, there is a strong urge to just give up and go on.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there. And that, the day in the store when they first met, he was thinking about how I would be better off dead.
Yeah.
And since that's not an uncommon emotional state for elderly people in those situations, her noticing him was more than just the joy of a child. It was, I believe, as we talk about often on this program, a divine appointment.
Well, his brother, Jesse, said of Dan, he was late for his own memorial service, about 4 years late. Because this was in 2016, and Mr. Dan did pass away in 2020. But his brother said of that time that it was the most alive he had seen his brother Dan in years. The time that he knew Nora. Dan himself said he hadn't slept through the night since his wife had passed away until he met Nora. And then after that, he slept soundly. And he said that Nora has healed my heart.
Yeah.
What a precious gift. What a precious legacy that Nora herself is leaving and has left on Mr. Dan's life.
We don't really talk about how important sleep is for a sound mind. We have had plenty of family over the years that have gone through different diseases or even elderly dementia where all its sleep cycles are disrupted and something happens to the psyche which increases the suffering, really. The body cannot reset, it can't restore. And in this case, what I'm hearing about Mr. Dan is that just the simple joy in your heart or your heart being filled up with something is better than melatonin.
Yeah.
It's better than a sleeping aid because it resets the heart. And from there, the body can respond. The mind can think and relax and let it go and fall back into those memories because you're processing them while you're asleep anyway. And if you have a very pleasant memory you want to process and you want to remember this, I think your body's going to help you out on that. So if you have a beautiful experience, music, culture, art, relationships, reunions, visiting with people you love, that can literally make it possible for you to fall into the kind of sleep that resets the whole soul.
Well, after Nora's mom, Tara, posted this story, it was picked up by CBS Sunday Morning News. And Steve Hartman does beautiful pieces on this show about human interest and beautifully poignant stories. And he picked this up and did a story on it. And he interviewed Mr. Dan and he said, "Tell me about this encounter." And Mr. Dan said it was the most beautiful encounter in a grocery store that could ever have happened. And he said of Nora that she saved his life. That he was ready to die. He was ready to just be done with everything. He had been married to his wife, Margie, for 60-something years.
Wow.
And now she was gone. And he was lonely.
Yeah.
And like you said, honey, he was ready for his life to be over. And Nora saved him. That was his declaration that she had done this for him and brought him back to the land of the living. And eager to get up every day, see what would happen, and look for those kind of encounters himself.
What I love about four-year-olds in these situations is that they're not calculating what will be the effect of my loving on this person. Will it have been useful? Will it produce fruit? They're just in the moment doing the thing which, in fact, is built into our souls as a need. She's fulfilling a need she doesn't even know she's fulfilling. And she's also mapping out for her future an ethic for what people should be worth to you.
Yeah.
She started early. Yeah. And there's something poignant and beautiful, of course, but I do believe there's something spiritual about this.
Absolutely.
That she was able to recognize in Mr. Dan, not just somebody who had a need, but somebody who was worth loving on and who would likely give that love back to her. So it's not even a calculated risk for her. She feels safe in extending herself and asking for a hug, expecting the world to say yes.
Yeah.
And I love people like that, that have the innate sense that the world is going to love on them, that good things will come. And I think one of the reasons why the story stirs us up as adults so much is that we have to recognize there are many times when we just don't expect the best of the world or life around us, the people that we run into. We've been conditioned, especially in the past few years here, to assume there'll be an argument just waiting to happen behind every conversation. Mm. This girl didn't just have no guile. She had high expectations for beautiful things to happen. Mm-hmm. No matter where we come from or what our upbringing was like, I think it resonates with us that this is right. This is what it should be.
Whether getting Bibles into closed countries, relief supplies into dangerous refugee camps, or providing training and theology books to barefoot pastors as they begin their ministry. These are all the kind of things that we love to share with you every day. And more importantly, they're the kind of things we like to do. Will you help us get ready for the next big faith challenges and opportunities of this year? Your gift today will provide the means for us to begin some new initiatives with our Bible and relief partners that reach farther than we've ever gone before. Here's how. The first and best way to reach us is through our website, CompassionRadio.com. It's available 24/7. Our safe and secure order form there will get your gift to the places needed most, and we'll do it right away. You can also support us with a call during Pacific Time business hours at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. You can also text COMPASSION to 53445 to give right through your phone, no matter where you are.
And note our new mailing address, which is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. Again, that's Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877.
However you give, we'd love to hear more about why you believe in Compassion Radio. We so much value your messages and letters. And know this, your gift is deeply appreciated. Thank you for loving us in this way.
So it's not even a calculated risk for her. She feels safe in extending herself and asking for a hug, expecting the world to say yes.
Yeah.
And I love people like that, that have the innate sense that the world is going to love on them, that good things will come. And I think one of the reasons why the story stirs us up as adults so much is that we have to recognize there are many times when we just don't expect the best of the world or life around us, the people that we run into. We've been conditioned, especially in the past few years here, to assume there'll be an argument just waiting to happen behind every conversation. And this girl didn't just have no guile. She had high expectations for beautiful things to happen. No matter where we come from or what our upbringing was like, I think it resonates with us that this is right. This is what it should be.
Well, Steve Hartman says that this story comes up in his memories really often. He did the original story back in 2016, and then again, when Mr. Dan passed away in 2020, Nora's front and center with her mom and family at the memorial service, and there's a video of her on Instagram. She's crying and very moved. She's 10 years old at this point. He asked her, "What do you think of when you think of Mr. Dan and you know, you miss him?" And she said, "He just loved me and he was interested in me." And I feel like those are the kind of relationships that everyone needs. Someone to just be interested in us, just to listen to us and our children. I mean, one of our children, all of them are curious, but one of them had the whys. Why? And of course, we hear that about many children. They're always asking why. And I remember one day in exasperation, you asked her, "Why do you keep asking why?" And she just looked at you and said, "Because I want to know." She was 5 or 6 at the time. And both of us just were, you know, pierced by that because she just wanted to know. She was just curious. That is such a beautiful character trait to have. Just be curious about people, about someone who is different than you, the other. Just be curious and know that they have a story.
And curiosity is the remedy for the othering.
Yeah.
If we have no intention of trying to reach out to somebody or any desire whatsoever to cross the divide and do something right. We just want to be by ourselves and let other people not be our responsibility. Then we don't ask those questions. We don't ask ourselves, what is their life like? When you're living with the expectation that good things are going to come, that God is going to give you friends, you approach people differently because your expectations are on that wavelength, mm-hmm. and you ask questions. And that's what I love about kids that are little. If they go to some stranger and ask a question, there's a high expectation that it's going to blossom into something wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
They expect you to respond in the same kind of attitude that they have. And so I would hope that we would at least learn one lesson from this story, is that when we're approached by a child and they ask an honest question, that we would immediately remember that this is my opportunity to be Mr. Dan.
Yeah. There are so many lonely people in the world that we pass every day. I mean, sometimes I feel lonely. Sometimes I just need a smile even from a stranger, and it's so helpful. Nora says that it's important to show kindness to others. Mr. Dan taught her about kindness as much as she taught him about.
It's the rule of hospitality, too, that the greatest kindness you can express to somebody who's offering you hospitality or welcome is to accept. If we turn our backs on those who are extending the opportunity to get to know them or to share their table or to spend a little time with them or to draw a picture and we brush it off,
mm-hmm.
we have not only missed an opportunity for ourselves, but we can often have crushed the spirit of somebody who's genuine.
Yeah. You know, it's not that difficult to make the shift to a spiritual lesson on that. It's quite easy. I mean, there's so many places and ways that the Bible talks about showing kindness to strangers, loving our neighbor as we love ourselves, entertaining angels unawares. So many scriptures that we could turn to. What was the one that really resonated to you, honey?
One we have not used before on the program. It is a simple term that pops up in Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, and in Thessalonians. It is the term holy kiss. I thought about that a lot. We don't have an indication that the two of them kissed each other on three cheeks like you would often do in a Latin culture. And we've been there a number of times where you can't get through the door of welcome without being kissed three times.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing. It's almost embarrassing and awkward for us. We're not used to the motion of it. There's a little dance that goes with those kind of greetings. But we have our handshakes and we have our hugs. So what is it that makes a kiss holy was my question. Why is it mentioned in the Bible that way? Well, it's a command every single time. Every single time it's mentioned, we're told, greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches greet you in Jesus Christ. All the brothers and sisters send their greetings. So greet one another with a holy kiss. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints are greeting you the same way. Greet all the brothers and sisters with a holy kiss. So why holy? That was where I was kind of stumped. It's tender. It's welcoming. It's vulnerable. You know, spelt their breath for crying out loud. But the idea of why things were holy is holy means set apart, above and beyond. The church, especially in the first century, was the only religion on the planet that I know of that was egalitarian in every aspect.
Right.
There wasn't a human being in the world who was told, you have a higher or lower status before Jesus and with Jesus and in Jesus and with Jesus in you. We are equal in every way imaginable. No matter what country you come from, no matter what education you have, but no matter what language you speak, you are level. So the idea of a holy kiss was of equality. It was set apart from the rest of the world because the rest of the world always looks at whose ring to kiss.
Right.
Whose stamp to seek the approval of. The church was not to be like that. It was to approach one another eagerly and with a deep embrace and kiss each other as equals. And the church was made up of people who were from different stations in life. And suddenly, people who were big in society were sitting cheek and jowl in crowded little rooms to hear the word of God spoken and to take part in the Eucharist together with people who would have been gutter snipes to them before they came to Jesus. People who would be nothing to them were suddenly on their level on the same bench.
Wow. I love knowing that about where the holy kiss comes from or what it means to the church, what it meant to the church, and what it should mean to us now. A few years ago, I don't know how many, quite a few years ago, I became convinced that this is the right way to greet people. We had traveled overseas a number of times. We're always greeted this way. And you're right, it did feel awkward at first because I wasn't used to that. In our culture here in America, we don't greet with a holy kiss.
Bubble.
Yeah. Right. And oftentimes it was a side hug, you know, that we were greeted with. But I decided that I am going to live into this idea of holy kiss. Mm. And I don't kiss men because they feel really awkward. But when I greet a woman friend, I do give her a kiss on the cheek if I hug her. Because for me, it is not just a sign of affection, but of vulnerability and compassion and love for a person.
And respect.
And respect. I think people are kind of used to it now, that the first time I did that, someone said to me, "Why did you kiss me?" And I said, "Because I care for you. It's a sign of affection and respect." Exactly. And I think now I have, quote, trained some of my friends to return the kiss to me. And sometimes if I for some reason just hug and don't kiss them, they'll stop me almost.
Something wrong.
And say, "Where's my kiss?" It is a beautiful expression of love for others and acceptance of them. I saw also that it was associated with peace and unity. Mm-hmm. That was given by the Holy Spirit. That is another beautiful way to look at it.
Often in church, we'll have the opportunity to greet one another, and in some churches they call it passing the peace. Mm-hmm. If you're not passing the peace, you're just kind of standing there. You have to actually approach people and mm-hmm. be willing participants. Something I've been really learning the past few years is that particular break in services, which a lot of churches do, it's not an awkward interruption in the worship. It is the worship. Mm-hmm. It is bringing God's love to that person, physically embodying it. If nobody else in this room today gave you a hug in the name of Jesus, I'm going to do it. If it's seen as something that is missional, that we are ministering to each other by stepping in and saying, "How are you really doing today? I want to pray peace over you today. I want to give you a hug and let you know that God sees you." All that's implied in that passing of the peace, if we treat it like it's something that's holy, set apart for this time and place. And it's no longer so awkward anymore, because now suddenly I've got the imprimatur of Jesus himself to go out there and minister to somebody. Just like Nora believed that she was God's gift to the world, because she was.
Because it was her birthday.
Yep.
Yeah.
And every day is your birthday when you are in Jesus.
Yeah. Nora teaches us a really important lesson, where most of us enter into situations suspecting others, mm-hmm. being cautious, and we don't trust easily.
Yeah.
We're fearful. Nora shows us that it is not just preferable, but beautiful mm-hmm. to approach others with open arms. Curiosity just keeps coming to my mind.
Yes.
I am curious, and I am open to another person's story. Mm-hmm. They had no idea what Mr. Dan was going through. They had no clue that Mr. Dan had decided in his mind and heart that his life was over. I don't know what that means or what that looks like for him, if he was just going to sit in his house and just waste away, or what he was thinking. They didn't know, nor didn't care. She just saw an opportunity to reach out to someone for a hug, for physical touch, for something of value. And she offered it generously. Thankfully, he received it.
And looking at it spiritually again, when the two of them met for the first time and embraced each other, who was Jesus in this little scenario? Was it Nora, or was it Dan, or was it both? What we so often overlook in the Gospels when we read the story of Jesus is how many times he received affection. Mm-hmm. You could imagine how much his eye lit up when people came at him just ready to be with him, especially the kids. And after the resurrection, like in that season we are in now, looking forward to Pentecost, how it would have flipped a bit. Jesus is at a whole other level, but he's still present with them from time to time. He just drops in mm-hmm. on the disciples. And suddenly, they're the ones whose eyes light up because Jesus showed up. Mm-hmm. His peace has become their peace. I'm certain that Mr. Dan, when he finally passed away in peace. Not the least of which because a little girl noticed him at a time when he didn't even know he was alive anymore. And who knows, maybe his wife over the years prayed that God would send her husband a Nora.
I just want to leave with the words of Nora. What she said is something that we can all take with us. Everybody just needs a hug.
Indeed. There are lots of links to articles and videos of this relationship we talked about today on our website, CompassionRadio.com. Just look for the podcast page for this program. Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you Monday for the next Compassion Radio's Chasing the Word.
Whether getting Bibles into closed countries, relief supplies into dangerous refugee camps, or providing training in theology books to barefoot pastors as they begin their ministry. These are all the kind of things that we love to share with you every day. And more importantly, they're the kind of things we like to do. Will you help us get ready for the next big faith challenges and opportunities of this year? Your gift today will provide the means for us to begin some new initiatives with our Bible and relief partners that reach farther than we've ever gone before. So call us today at 1-800-868-2478.
And note our new mailing address, which is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. Again, that's Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877.
Or give online at CompassionRadio.com. We need you, friend, so contact us today.